So good afternoon, everyone. A very warm welcome to another session of Knowledge Series by Go India Advisors. I'm Garima Singla, and I have with me Mr. Rakesh Arora, Managing Partner at Go India Advisors. Today we have with us on the call the management of Encon Design India Limited, Mr. Mahesh Bhanusali, the Managing Director, and Mr. Nandan Pradhan, the Whole-Time Director. So Encon stands as a leading manufacturer of construction chemicals and finishing products. So it is one of the first Indian companies to receive ISI certification for tile adhesives, waterproofing, and wall putty. The company's strong brand, particularly in the Tier 2 and Tier 3 markets, is underpinned by deep industry knowledge, domain-led R&D, and unwavering focus on product quality and performance. The company has a robust product portfolio of 100-plus SKUs across 12 categories. The company is continuously innovating, and in FY 25 alone, it had launched 9 new products, showcasing its innovation.
I think we have lost Garima. One sec. So let me continue. So Amcon is, as Garima was mentioning, is a leader in construction chemicals, and they have 100 plus SKUs, and they have been at the cutting edge of innovation. So even in FY 25, they launched around 9 odd products. They operate from two facilities. They have like 112 distributors. Most of the client is largely for them is government. So let's hear from Mr. Mahesh and Mr. Nandan about their business. So Mahesh, can you give us a little bit brief as to what you think about the business, how you started your journey, and how did you land up at in this space? What is the background?
Pradhan sir,
Yeah.
you continue with this.
Okay. Yeah. So good afternoon, all. This is Nandan Pradhan here, and see, Encon Design India Limited. Like what Rakesh rightly said, yes, we are into the construction chemical space, and we have got our own two units at Vapi, one at Sarigam and one at Amrethi. So currently the major mother plant cover around 3 lakh square feet. Is fully operational now, and from there we are manufacturing almost 100 plus products, which includes powders, liquids, admixtures, paints, waterproofing systems. And if you talk of the journey, yeah, we started through our retail network. Our base location is of course Mumbai, so we started from Mumbai, and from here on we developed the retail network, then the contractor network, and slowly started spreading our wings across the state of Maharashtra and Gujarat. Currently, if you talk of, we are present in 7 different states of India, which are Maharashtra, Gujarat, MP, Rajasthan, Karnataka, Kerala, and UP in North. So this is how we are slowly spreading our wings. Last year, we launched the entire range of decorative paints, and currently, we are having more than 70 dealers selling our paint products, and it's doing fairly well. We have got almost 15 SKUs in the paint domain itself. We have got our own R&D setup in Navi Mumbai and also one at the factory. When we say that we are our own R&D setup, which means that we believe that we need to innovate the technology. We need to give something new to the construction domain or the construction industry, because in last 15 years the construction industry has gone through sea change, technological innovations, be it in the concreting, be it in the way the formwork is done, be it in the way the coatings are done, or the protection to the building is done, or the protection to the flooring is done. So we are trying to be part of each of these kind of situations where we can play our role. Our major customers are builders, developers, because in our initial days we focused more on the building construction. So our major product portfolio or the product segment is builders and contractors and the developers. And then comes the government projects where we supply to the infrastructure contractors who either are making roads, flyovers, bridges, or repairing bridges, or repairing dams and reservoirs. So these are the places where we do a lot of activity. We are one of the prime suppliers in the Prime Minister Awas Yojana under the Mahan Housing Scheme. Recently, almost 2 months back, we also got approved in the CPWD. So now we will be there in the Central Works Department, where we are having some major projects or wings. The results or the order flow of the same will be seen maybe during the monsoon or post-monsoon. As far as the overall company structure is concerned, we are having a team of almost 65 odd professionals who are doing the sales activities across all the cities that I states I talked about. We mainly focus on the distributor network, and that's why we have got 100 plus distributors in our network who are selling MCON products. Few of them are project distributors who directly sell to projects, and few are retail who stock and sell. So almost 75% of our business comes through distributors, and the balance 25% is either direct to maybe to infrastructure projects, to RMC plants, or to contractors. Almost 2 years back, we started the admixture division, so which was contributing hardly 1.5%. So last year, it contributed more than 7%. The admixture division itself is again a profitable division in terms of the margins or the gross margins concerned. So yes, that's about the company.
Okay. Thank you, Nandan ji, for a good roundup. So my first question, Nandan ji, is that we make so many products, but is there one chemistry that we excel in, or is our capacity fungible, and how do we actually measure our capacity given that we have so many products? So if you can just give us what is the chemist underlying chemistry, what is the capacity, and is it fungible or not?
Yeah, so yes, the capacity is fungible, first of all, and our capacity we can measure in terms of tonnages, because the conversion to values is a very, I can say, a funny calculation. For example, one of my powder, if I talk first of all, gray powder products. So gray powder product, my capacity may is around 20,000 metric tons. Okay, now if I talk of one particular product, it is 5 to 6 rupees a kg, and in the same machinery, if I manufacture one other product, it is almost 18 rupees a kg.
Okay.
So I can become 3 times my turnover as far as the value is concerned, just by changing the product and the tonnage being remaining same. So that is how it is. So if I broadly talk of the capacity, 39,000 metric ton is for powders, and around 8,600 metric tons is for liquids.
Okay. And so what is the main chemistry here that we have? Do we excel in any main chemistry for making these products?
Yeah, so if I talk of product range, then initially we were a powder-based company more so. Right now we are excelling in tile adhesives, which is contributing almost 26% to my overall sales. So that is one product domain which is also marginal, having good margins as well as having a good product value. And there we are also excelling or growing day by day, like from 15% to 26% is the growth in the terms of contribution to the turnover. The other that we are slowly excelling is the admixture division, where we have got our own R&D center. We have got concrete technologists who are working day and night to formulate certain products which can meet to the current standards of the concrete required, because currently the concrete required is having more hours of retention is needed, 2.5, 3 hours, even 4 hours. Higher grade of concrete is being manufactured, M40, M50, M60. And also the quality of sand is reducing or deteriorating day by day. So with all this chemistry into picture, all these challenges into picture, manufacturing a good admixture is always a challenge, and we are excelling in that. So yes, that is one more segment I can talk of in which we are slowly excelling.
Okay. So Nandan ji, if we have to broadly divide our product portfolio into two, three buckets, so one is obviously improving the quality of the concrete is one of the things there. So this is like an additive that you sell.
Correct.
And the second is you have those tile
Fixing
adhesive.
of tiles. Yeah,
Yeah,
fixing of tiles.
okay, so that's like an adhesive category. What else?
Right.
What are the other categories broadly if we were to quantify your product categories?
Right. So if I talk of the basic, so if you want to make the structure, then the admixtures come into picture. If you want to cover the structure, then ready-mix plasters, block adhesives, and tile adhesives come into picture, which cover the structure. If you want to waterproof the structure, the waterproofing systems come into picture. If you want to decorate the structure, then textures, paints, wall putties come into picture. And tomorrow, if your structure deteriorates over a period of time, maybe 10, 15, 20 years, then concrete repair products come into picture. So these are broadly the categories that we deal in or we manufacture.
Okay, so we covered the whole gamut from built up to taking care, to the end of the life of the product.
Right, throughout the life cycle.
So in terms of this looks like a very big, market size, kind of, the total addressable market is very huge.
Yes, it
So
is.
according to you, what would be the addressable market size for all our products?
All our products put together maybe around 50,000 crores in India alone.
Okay, and can you tell us who's the competition? Because obviously, paints, etc., we know even waterproofing, we have some large companies,
Correct.
already there. And but can you tell us for admixtures and plasters, who are our key competitors?
Correct. So again, in the just like I told you, the construction space is changing, the construction technology is changing. Similarly, the competitors are also changing day by day. Like all the paint companies today have become manufacturers of construction chemicals. Asian Paints is there, Nerolac is there, Berger is there, Birla Opus is coming into this, UltraTech is already into this. So all the big giants are already now in the construction chemical space. Of course, Pidilite is already there with Dr. Fixit and Roff brands. So they are also into same space. Then there are few companies from outside India. Like there are Italian companies like Sika is a Switzerland company, Mapei and Caracol, Italian companies are there. And Fosroc, again, a UK-based company. So these are all private
What
limited
is our
companies.
competitive edge when we have such large companies who are competing in this field?
See, sir, construction chemical selling is not like commodity selling, and it's more of technical selling because you are selling some solution. So the people who are having that technical acumen, the technical edge, and who are going to the customer, trying to give them solution, have always excelled in this particular game. Past also, many companies have tried to commoditize the entire space, but it has not happened yet. So most of the times, those who have specialty chemicals or specialty technology and who have technical team of their own or manufacturing space of their own win the game. So that is our edge. Like we have got our own R&D team, we have got our own technical team. We know the product in and out. We manufacture on our own and we reach the customer and give them the right solution. So that's where we win.
But see, most of our customers are B2B customers. So how does the order come in? What kind of customization we do for them? Can you take us through the whole process?
Okay, so what happens is like, first of all, we have got the distribution channel in place. So those distributors ensure that when the product reaches the customer, then after that, the billing and the payment cycle has to be in order. So that is one part of it. Second, my team visits the customers to get the product technically approved by either doing a sampling or submitting certain technical data sheets and certificates and creating a trust between the customer and Emcon. Once that is done, then the commercial negotiation happens and then we get the order. Once we get the order, then depending on the type of the product, for example, ready-mix plaster, block adhesive, etc., there is nothing like, some customization required. Those are straight products, standard products which go in the same formulation day in, day out. So for that, we have got a fully automatic plant which does the same formulation every time it is fed in. So there the consistency matters a lot and it's a volume-based product. And so we manufacture that based on the orders. And of course, we have got a finished goods stock of almost, I can say, 20 to 25% of the total offtake in a month. So that is always ready with us. So then we have to book the transport and transit the product from our manufacturing location to either the distributor or in case of projects, directly to the projects.
So
In
for all
case of
our orders, we
liquid.
need to get technical approval before it can be considered for.
Yes.
And do we
Yes,
have to
in
bid?
most
Is
of
it like
these.
a L1 bid that we see, or is it mutually decided how the pricing happens?
Pricing always is not necessarily L1. Many a times it's more on the technical side because for a tile adhesive, the importance is of the pull-out test because the tile should not fall. The tile is a costlier product, and the finishing or the risk of tile falling is more costlier. So the adhesive, even if it's costly but performing better, always gets an edge.
Okay. So, Nandji, what is our key raw material? Can you take us through unit economics of our product, meaning what are the key costs starting from raw material?
So basically, see, raw material, if again, powder and liquid varies. So in powder, the major raw material is always cement and sand. The sand can be river sand, silica sand. So two types of sand are being used. Apart from that, there are certain polymers which go into the product, which either ensures better dispersion, better bonding, or improves the chemistry of the entire product mix. And so that is how the powder operates. Because it's a fully automatic plant, so unit economics, if I talk of the labor cost involved in any of the bags, is almost equal. So whether the bag is or the product is worth 5 rupees a kg or 20 rupees a kg, the labor cost almost remains the same.
Okay.
Now, when we come to liquid, then the major thing is again a special type of polymer. But these polymers are totally different from what are used in powder. And then almost 35-40% is again water. But this water is also special kind of water. It's not a regular water or potable water. So there is a special plant through which the water is manufactured or processed, I would say. And only that kind of water can be used, which suffices certain chemical content or which should not have certain chemical content.
Okay. So the raw material is largely sourced from India only locally, because cement, concrete,
almost 80%.
40%. So for us to be able to, you know the cost of our product when we are selling it, are we kind of sure about our margins when we are bidding for that product, or you know, are there any cost escalations? How long are the contracts?
See, we are in 99% cases, we are damn sure about the product cost. So the cost escalations normally are not that fast, or the risk level are not that high. Yes, of course, the cement, as everybody knows, cement cost just keeps on changing day in, day out. But that also is within certain margin. Once a year or once twice or once in 2 years, it happens that the rate of polymers all of a sudden shoot through the sky and then again come back to normal.
Okay.
So that panic situation happens maybe once a year for a month or two. So
okay.
That is something that we have to handle. But we do carry certain stocks.
Raw materials, they are not so volatile. So market is supporting there. So product pricing is not concerned about, actually.
So from bidding for the order and you know, actual you know, buying of raw material, what is the time lag?
Bidding for the order from buying, see, we can't buy the raw material based on what we are bidding for. We need to have the raw material at our home, because the one is the gestation period of our raw material or the time taken for people to deliver the raw material. So that risk we cannot take. Plus, we need to be sure that whatever we're bidding for, that raw material is available with us beforehand only. So it's the other way around, that whatever we hold the raw material, it's enough for at least 2-2.5 months turnover.
Achha. So you have to buy a raw material and keep it in advance.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, good. So in terms of, you know, do we have any order book? What is the visibility of orders that we have? Because there are a lot of questions on revenue, so which I'll come to that. So what visibility do we get for orders? How long before we know that what would be our sales?
Okay, so visibility of orders, honestly, funnels are there, but orders like we don't have, we have got LOIs where they say that yes, in next 6 months, this is the kind of offtake that we will have. Because
okay.
For us, the order comes from distributor, and the contractor or the builder gives the order to the distributor. So we get the LOI, and then based on the schedule from the client, we have to keep on dispatching the product.
Okay. So for the next, you know, we're already into the third month of a year. So for the first half, what kind of order visibility do we have?
It's good. So far, the order visibility is quite good. because since last year the government projects were almost at standstill, but now they are slowly or rather speedily moving up. Of course, again, this off-seasonal rain created a bit of mess, but still the order flow is quite good.
Gotcha. So now see, there are a lot of questions on that, our guidance for 80 crore last year, and we missed it by a big margin. So obviously we do understand that there were election year, and then government order didn't pick up for two more quarters. So that really impacted our performance. So does it happen that we might have orders and but it will not lead to dispatches? Because things are going slow, like as you said, currently unseasonal rains. So those kind of possibilities are there.
For the current year or for the past year?
Last year, maybe if you can tell us, the guidance miss was a bit large.
It
So
was.
we know the broad reasons. If you want to add something to it.
Yeah, so Rakesh, first of all, I would like to tell, like, of course, we are comparatively new to this, the shares and stocks and the investors and the shareholders and how the mindsets work. Okay, so we considering the way we are, like, we are a bit flamboyant or a bit open-minded in nature. So when we gave the guidance, it was more like, yes, we are planning to do 80 crores. It was, yes, that is our target. So that's what we got. But that guidance, we never thought that, that guidance, though we could grow by 20%, still that guidance will show that, yes, we are failing by 40%. So that is where the gap was, first of all, created.
Okay.
And then the second part is that what you rightly pointed out, that during the year, there are multiple occasions where whatever we had planned was, we could have got it. But first of all, the elections in the center, then rains, and then the elections in the state. Because almost 50% of our business we are doing in Maharashtra state.
Okay.
And the Maharashtra state, initially, because of the elections, the builders were underground, that they don't have to pay the extra money to the politicians. And post that, the budgets were not released for the government projects. So
Okay.
in both ways, overall, the Maharashtra sales slowed down. So
Okay,
that
got
was
it.
the major setback for us.
Okay. So for this year, if you were to give us a conservative number, meaning obviously you are targeting much more. If you were to give a conservative number, what number should investors work with that this is like a safe number to work with?
See, we are damn sure that we will cross a 70 crore mark,
Okay.
and that is a very safe, very, very safe number, I can say,
Okay.
that we are looking forward to.
Okay, very good. Now, so
Because
coming
again,
to
Rakesh, here we have different aspirations, but Pradhan sir is very, as you said, he's very conservative, so we have to be conservative
obviously, given what has
there.
happened with us, unforeseen circumstances, I'm sure that you're turned conservative, but let's hope that you will do better than this. So,
I'm sure, sir.
yeah, okay, perfect, sir. Now, coming to so capacity, you said we have capacity of 39,000 tons as what liquid
Powder. Yeah,
powder
powder.
powder and another 6,000-7,000
8,000 plus tons.
8,000 as liquid, and we keep hearing about your innovative model that you are deploying to expand capacity. So can you take us through what is this whole arrangement that you are doing with your franchisee partners?
Yeah, so see, we have signed up agreements with certain franchises who are ready to invest into the manufacturing plants on our behalf. So it's a franchisee-owned and company-operated units, those would be. So based on the locations that we desire, those people put a manufacturing plant. Again, the entire design of the plant, including the machinery, the equipment, the laboratory, everything is as per the specifications of Mcon Rasayan. And then they invest on that, they act on that. And then whatever is manufactured in that plant is again purchased back by Mcon and then sold to the distributors. The entire exercise is needed because as far as powder products is concerned, we need to be near the market location to ensure that the transportation cost is in control and we are able to give affordable product and still earn good bottom lines. So that's why this entire exercise is there. At the same time, we don't want to become very asset heavy. That's why this FOCO model is there.
Okay. So what would be our capacity after this, these three franchisee operated things are ready?
So see, right now itself, we have increased our powder-based capacity by almost 8,000 metric tons based on the FOCO model. And liquids again are another 1,500 metric ton. So 3,000 metric ton is there.
Okay, so what is the current capacity utilization in FY25 as come for these two products?
So almost 55% was our total capacity utilization.
And what is the maximum we can go to?
In terms of tonnages, you are talking, in terms of
The
percentage,
percent capacity utilization, can we go to 80, 90, 100?
85% we can easily go.
So we have enough growth levers
Yes,
for at
we see
least.
again in that also to ensure that good capacity utilization. We have already hired a consultant since last 1.5 years who advises us on OEE, which is called operational efficiency. So we are working on that operational efficiency too, and currently our OEE is almost 88%. So that is the efficiency we have. So we can easily cross 85% of the capacity utilization.
So, just understanding the economics of this franchisee, what is the investment franchisee has to do, and what kind of return they make, and is it a fixed return or they get some upside?
No, it's not a fixed return. The total investment ranges around 1.5 CR,
Okay.
and the ROI is almost 3.5 years.
Okay, 3.5 year payback is there for them.
Yes.
Okay, got it. And these facilities are already started?
Yeah, these are static.
Achha, okay. Now coming to working capital, we saw a lot of increase in working capital last year. So obviously you had stocked up a lot more than you can sell. So can you tell us how the normalization will happen of this working capital, and to do these additional sales, do we need further working capital, or we have enough?
Okay, so first of all, yes, the working capital has increased because of the increase in the inventory. And the inventory has increased because three major reasons. Okay, number one, of course, the projections. So when we told you all that yes, we are planning, so we were really planning. The intention was surely there. That's why we also stocked the raw material needed or the packing material needed. And because we are having almost 100 SKUs with us, so the packing material needed or the inventory of the packing material is quite huge because each product is having a different bag, a different bucket, a different barrel, or a different drum. So we need to stock that. Secondly, when we enter into franchisee model, then there the stocks of the franchisee are our stocks. They come in also, there also our inventory increased because that is something that we needed to invest in. And because instead, apart from our mother unit, the stock is lying in another 5 units. Finished goods stock, raw material stock, and packing material stock, all three of them. So all that put together, there was a huge inventory, right? And third, of course, that in the credit segment, I can say like the distributors, because we opened new pockets, new regions, and also the project division, that is the government division. So the credit lines we had to extend on slightly on the higher side because the payment from the client to the distributor was a bit slow. So they had certain special requests, which we acknowledged because they are our extended partners or extended hands. So we had to acknowledge that. So these three all put together increased our cost of working capital. Now, of course, we are working number one with the franchises to ensure that the inventory control at their end has to be their headache. And major items, we have developed vendors around them so they can purchase directly from their vendors and it doesn't come in our books. So that is
Okay.
one part that we already started. So slowly you will see reduction in the inventory levels or the cost of inventory. Number two, we have tied up with a channel financing NBFC or channel financing model wherein a certain instrument is created for the distributors. So slowly they are coming on board with that model so that we get the payment fast and they get the credit that they deserve or want from directly from our channel financing partner. So there again, we'll reduce the overall outstanding that is there with us in the market.
Okay, so meaning we had geared up for a much larger sales last year and our inventory went up. So basically, you are saying that we don't really need further working capital for this year because we were prepared for 80 crore. Now we are saying 70 crore plus, maybe I don't know, it is 80, 90, whatever, but we are geared up for 80 to already, right? Or
Correct.
so, what are our bank limits and how much have we used?
So, sir, bank limits are if we drop off working capital, it's 11.5 CR, and we are totally using those limits.
Okay, that is fully utilized.
Yeah, that is fully utilized.
Achha, okay, so if we need more working capital, then what are our plans? Meaning, there was one question whether we need to dilute. We need to raise some equity, or we have enough bandwidth. So, what is our total debt gearing, etc., and do we have any further scope to raise money if required?
We have scope of raising money from the bank if required, depending on, of course, the sales numbers of the first half of the year would be there. So based on that, surely we can get some debt from the bank, as well as based on whatever steps we are taking in, we are sure that we will see a steady cash flow. So maybe a dire need of working capital may not be required, at least in the first 3 quarters. Then based on, because we are envisaging a big order flow in the third quarter and a good sale in the third quarter. So based on that, maybe possibly in fourth quarter, we might need working capital.
Achha. But that will be bank funding you will seek rather than any equity
Yes.
funding.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. There's one question which was interesting, which is we have so much of inventory here, and Abhijit is asking, is there any shelf life? Do we have to write off any of the inventory?
No, finished goods inventory has got a shelf life. Few are 6 months, 12 months, 24 months. But the major inventory currently is at the raw material level, and there those inventories are not something that we will have to write off, because those inventories are not more than 4 months old, and each of them is having 18 months of shelf life. So that will not be a problem.
Okay. And so now coming to the important question. So our EBITDA margins also went down because we did so many things. So what is the EBITDA margin investors should expect once things normalize? What would be your guidance based on the conservative 70 crore plus revenue that we're talking about? What EBITDA margin should people bake in?
So anything above 15% is for sure.
Okay.
And we are, because see, just like I gave you the example of the product mix, so we are consciously changing the product mix, moving from powders to liquids, so that as the contribution of the liquids to my turnover increases, the EBITDA will improve on its own. And of course, the day we achieve the turnover desired, because we have already incurred the fixed cost equivalent to a 80 crore or 100 crore company. So the day we move from above 60, 65 crore, then automatically the EBITDA is further going to improve.
Okay, so 15% plus EBITDA margin you think is easily comfortably possible
Yes.
as compared to what we did last year. There are some questions on the progress of Solapur Pune plant. How are you progressing? So Radhika is asking this question, and is there any what are the margins there?
Okay. Yeah. So the Pune plant is operational, and we are progressing really well in that. The Solapur plant, there again, the powders have started, liquid is yet to start, because the requirements have not yet come. Again, the Prime Minister Awas Yojana project had slowed down, like I told you last year. So due to that, the requirements were not there. That's why we did not, speed up the manufacturing of liquid progress. But during monsoons, we are sure that that plant will also, the liquid plant will also become operational, because post monsoon, that work is also going to start in a big way.
So
And
what kind of revenue can you expect from this plant next year? This year actually, not next year, yeah.
So I think this plant, Pune Solapur plant, will contribute almost 15 to 18% to our total revenue.
Okay. Aman has some big picture questions. One is asking about the total market size of each offering. So overall, you said it is a 50,000 crore, addressable market. But what about admixtures, plastic, raw metal, plasters, waterproofing? Do you have individual kind of idea as to how big are these markets?
Sir, offhand, I don't remember it. But yes, for
sure.
admixtures, I can surely say tell that it is more than 10,000 crore market space of admixture alone. But that is
who
one
would
of
be
the
the main,
biggest
competitor in admixtures?
Sir, currently, I would say that we are not even at 0.1% of the total market size. So all are
Okay.
competitor and none of them is competitor.
Yeah, no problem. Don't worry about competition now. So the other question Aman had is on the value chain. He's worried how much are you giving to your distributors? They are not taking too much.
Yeah, so distributor margins is between anything between 7.5 to 10%, depending on the product and depending on whether he is giving to projects or he is giving to retail. Because project, again, a volume business. So there are a few distributors who are even operating at 4.5% in project division.
Okay. And there's one question on the tax rate. It was lower last year. So we should be at 25-26% tax rate or?
Yeah, we are the same, 25-26 tax rate.
Okay. Now, Reena is still not sure. She's saying that there is always some constraint in the market. How prepared are you to counter all this,
Yeah. So, yes, there will be many constraints in the market. But like I told you, the market size is so huge and we are not even trying to take out a drop from the ocean. So the constraints over a period of time will not bother us much. Again, because now we are there in multiple states. So we are also expecting to, have a well-distributed turnover pie from each of the states, at least from the 7 existing states, and maybe 2 states will add into this picture down the months. So the constraints, of course, will nullify. And again, like I told, the product mix has changed. Now we have got paint, we have got admixture in a full-fledged way. Of course, we had the product last year, but the production as well as the sales team, as well as the technical team were not that big and well-developed that we have today. So that will also ensure that, we can grow out of all these constraints. And of course, we are getting a reasonably, I can say, a good figure, which will not bother us much as far as the constraints are concerned.
Okay. So Rina is saying that she's asking about the internal constraints. External, she agrees. They are beyond our control. But internally, are there any constraints to meet the guidance that we are seeing?
No, internally, we don't have any constraints like that because we are good at production. We are having working capital with us. We have got a fantastic team of sales and R&D and technical as well as quality control people. And our locations are well marked. The distributors are behaving well. And so that's not a problem.
Okay. So Aman has a question on state-wise exposure. You were saying Maharashtra is the biggest one for us. So what is the percentage of sales in Maharashtra?
Maharashtra is almost 50%.
50%. Then Gujarat, etc. would be how much?
Gujarat is around 20%. 12% roughly is Rajasthan. 4 to 5% is MP. The South contributes almost 6 to 8%. And UP market is contributing around 4%. So that is how it is.
Okay. Thank you. Naresh has a question on, the franchisee. While you said it has already started functioning, but he has done some groundwork. He's saying that Bangalore franchise is not yet started.
No, Bangalore franchise has started. The production has started and we have already supplied almost, I would say, like last 2 months, we are supplying from the Bangalore franchisee only.
Achha, okay. So that's good news that Naresh, we have for you. It's already started. So one of the things you mentioned, was that you can make a 5 rupee kg product and 82 rupee kg product from the same thing. So, what is the proportion of value added, the higher end, compared to lower end in our portfolio at the moment? And where do we aspire to go to?
Okay, so currently high value added products contribute to almost 30-35%, and 65% are the lower value products. And last year we already moved almost 20% this shift, and this year again another 20-25% we are expecting to shift. So maybe we will end up at 60-40 ratio, 60% value added and 40% at a lower value.
In 1 year or over 2 years?
In 1 year, in a year.
In 1 year. This year in FY26, you're saying?
Yes.
Achha. Okay, that's a good improvement. One of the things I wanted to ask you, we are a small company with, it's a small revenue number to think of, but our SKUs are very large. So, is 20% of the portfolio bringing 80% of revenue, which normally we see is the case for most companies? Is this the same case for us?
Yes, it's the same case. Like the top 25 products are bringing the 80% of revenue, and the balance products are contributing just the 20% towards the revenue. But at the same time, each product, even today, it's 20% of my revenue, but its capability or its market size is equivalent to the other 25 products which are contributing to 80%. So market size-wise, each product segment is equally huge. Of course, we cannot, or we are not able to reach to that kind of revenue. If we could, then of course we will be a 500 crore plus company. But right now, of course, each product segment we have to go gradually, because each will require a different kind of expertise, a different kind of bandwidth, and different kind of market strategy. So that's why we go slow on each product segment. At the same time, why so many products? Those are needed when you address a builder or a client, because few products, the competition might be very stiff or very huge in certain region. So we have to enter through other product, create the trust, and then add the value-added products. So that is how the strategy works. So we focus on basket selling, be it a distributor or a client, a builder, a developer, or contractor. So for doing the basket selling, you need fruits in the basket. So that's why the portfolio is huge.
So, Abhinita has a very interesting question. He's asking that from a cash flow perspective, we are doing all this franchisee model, so the CapEx is getting transferred to the franchisee. But our main risk is working capital.
Right.
And so, how are we dealing with that? And so, it's kind of tied to the question I was asking about number of SKUs. Unnecessarily, the working capital goes up. And so, he's also asking how are the margins for us in the franchisee business, meaning in our own plant versus the franchisee? One is margin, and then maybe you can say return on capital employed. That would be also be a good number to look at.
Right. So, first of all, the cash flow thing or the inventory thing, let's talk of that. So, like I told you, the last year, the inventory at the franchisee, because the franchises were also relatively new to us and they had invested on the plant and machinery. So, that told that was the stock inventory will remain with you. The moment we bill it out, back-to-back billing karenge, or we'll move that way. So that's why the inventory was on us. But this year, we have already, two of the franchisees have already agreed that the inventory is on them. So till the inventory doesn't turn into finished goods, we are not carrying the cost of inventory on us. So that is one big plus for us. So the working capital requirement slightly gets controlled in that situation, number one. Now coming to what are the margins, or how much margins are the franchises eating into? So almost in 85% of the products, the margins are directly balanced out by the transportation cost that we save.
Oh, very good.
So
So we don't lose anything.
correct, we don't lose anything, but
So we pass on the
we
benefit
reach
of transport cost
we,
to the franchisee owner.
correct correct so we reach on time. Like
Okay,
for
very good.
example, if I have to send a product, what Nareshji asked, Bangalore plant. Okay, so if I have to send a product from Bangalore, from Vapi plant to Bangalore, my transport cost is around 3 rupees 25 paise. So instead, if I send it from Bangalore to Bangalore, it is 75 paise. So that is the kind of shift, and still I end up paying maybe the franchisee 1 rupee or 1 rupee 10 paise per kg is margin, and still saving on my margin.
Okay.
And also transit period is very high from Vapi to Bangalore when I am near that market, so I can supply fast also. That is one more added benefit.
So one this factor, what are the chances that our franchisee understands the whole thing and starts his own business, undercutting us? How do we make sure that that doesn't happen?
Sir, for that, see, traditionally what is happening, I will tell you that in most of the cases, like if you talk of Asian Paints, Dr. Fixit or other brands, what they are doing is that they are doing the outsourcing model. So there is already a plant, like there are multiple plants in Bangalore where I have to just send my bags. They will fill in my bags and give me the product. Whatever is manufactured in their premises based on their formulation. So what happens is that over a period, what you are saying is right, that he creates his own brand also parallelly and starts selling it in the same market, saying that boss, डॉक्टर फिक्सिट मेरे यहाँ बन रहा है, एशियन मेरे यहाँ बन रहा है, तो तुम उससे 10% सस्ता मेरे से ही खरीद लो, राइट? इन माय फ्रेंचाइजी मॉडल, नंबर वन, आई एम नॉट टेलिंग यू व्हाट इज द फॉर्मुलेशन. ही इज मोर ऑफ अ इन्वेस्टर रादर देन अ मैन्युफैक्चरर एंड अ मार्केटियर. सो हिज थॉट प्रोसेस इज दैट टिल आई एम गेटिंग गुड आरओआई, आई एम हैप्पी दैट माय कैपिटल इज इन्वेस्टेड एंड आई एम गेटिंग रिटर्न्स ऑन इट. आई एम मोर देन हैप्पी. You are running the show, you better run the show and give me my turnover. That's it. So I have selected that kind of model and that kind of people who don't want to go into the market and really sell the product. And still, Rakeshji, adding to that, since last 8 to 10 years, I, Pradhan sir, and Chetan bhai, we are working to create our own brand. So creating that brand name and that trust is more difficulty. So even if someone comes to know to whom I'm supplying also, it's not that easy to go and convert that data in their company. So it's not really about only rates, it's a technical product and the trust which you are building day by day.
Now, so the my last question, Mahesh ji and Nandan ji, why are we not expanding fast all this franchise model? Because we are not investing anything. We have the technology. We just need to provide support. Next year, why can't we go to a whole of country? So what is the plan on the franchisee model?
Right. So, sir, it's see what happens is that sustainable model needs a good market, right? Because the day I put the franchisee's manufacturing in place, I need to promise him certain turnover from that plant so that he also at least break evens over a period of 3 to 6 months. So, for that, first of all, I need to explore the market, do the marketing, appoint the distributors, start selling from my Vapi plant, and create a steady market for that place, and then I can put a franchisee to have a plant over there. That is how we operate, so that the franchisee remains interested also, and secondly, he also gets his break even. So that takes time. And secondly, what everyone is asking or curious about or even challenging to some extent is the working capital. So of course, to go pan India, you need higher working capital. That's why we are going a bit slow on that. Because it should not happen that I fund the working capital for other states and then miss out on Maharashtra.
Though I said last question, but I have one or more question.
Right.
So, like our product, like say waterproofing product, how different it is in quality from say Asian Paints or other guys? Because these days we see so much of ads on social media from them, and they are willing to send person to the home to do.
Correct.
How do you compete with that? Meaning, is our product better? It is, or we do only B2B, that's why we are able to do. How do we compete with these kind of things?
Yeah, so sir, we have got two. If I talk of waterproofing segment itself only alone, then yes, we have got two products which are technologically better than those which are available generally in the market.
Okay.
And those two products give us an edge when we go to B2B. Because these people are also there in B2B, there, but their focus is more on B2C, so they don't compete much in B2B. And B2B is more about technical selling, where you need to study the structure, then you need to make the drawings, make the BOQs, make the specifications. You need to have your trained applicators who actually go on the site and do the waterproofing and then give warranty guarantee. So there also we have got a back-to-back guarantee model where we do a tri-party agreement with the client so that the client is also assured that Imcon is part of the guarantee. Whereas these other competitors, they don't give a, they only give a guarantee of the product. They don't give a guarantee when the product is applied. So that guarantee is more like an eye wash. So that's why slowly they don't get that kind of, repeat business from the big vendors.
Okay. My personal experience is that I did call that guy for waterproofing one of my wall, which was because the paint was coming off. After a year or two, it just shifts from that location to a slightly nearby location. It doesn't really change much.
Right.
So okay, so I understood that. You did mention about two R&D centers. But what exactly is our R&D, capability? What kind of people we have, and what kind of money we are spending to do R&D? It is just for customization for the client, or is it new product, or what is it?
Yeah, so see, the R&D centers are there are you rightly pointed out both the things. Okay, so one is the customization of the product based on the changing needs of the customer, and the second is introducing new products or new technologies. So what happens is the capability wise, we have got doctors in polymer chemistry who are two doctors who are heading the R&D centers, and then below them we have got MSc in chemistry or chemical technology and also civil engineers part of the R&D center, because construction chemical is a combination of chemistry and civil engineering. So we need to have experts from both the fields to understand and test the product and give the right product to the customer. Secondly, we also visit international fairs to see what is the prevailing technology outside and try to, either do reverse engineering of the products that are available outside or create a similar product based on the needs of the atmosphere in India. Because India is a combination of 10 to 12 countries, I would say. Like every 100, 150 kilometers, the temperature is changing. The way people behave is changing, the weather is changing, the educational levels are changing, and the need of the customer also changes. So with all that into picture, it's very important that you formulate a product based on the feedback that you get.
Got
And
it.
for the similar thing, we also have internship with students from good institutes like NICMAR, etc., who come with us, who learn our products, go to the consultants and architects, do survey reports from them, and share their findings with my R&D team so that we can develop further more products.
Okay.
So that kind of combination keeps on operating.
Since a lot of our sales happens to government contractors also, what is the situation of bad sales? Meaning, have we lost money which you have not recovered? Is there any money pending for more than 1 year?
Money lost or not recovered? No, that situation is not so far. Yes, of course, maybe 2 to 3% I can say, which is pending for more than a year, or maybe 0.5% can be a write-off case due to either, small product failures or the contractor, like during post-COVID, the contractor or the dealer all of a sudden vanished. So that situation, but that
During the
was only during
COVID, people
those
died,
phases
lost
only.
lives, so we can't say much about it.
Yeah, exactly.
But overall, sir, money is safe, so that's not again a concern here.
Very
And
good.
government also majorly we try to reroute through our distributors.
So, I want to thank you for this lively session. I'm
Thank you so
sure
much.
investors wanted or expected a lot more. Yeah, it didn't happen in FY25. But you guys have laid the foundation very strong for sustained growth. So I'm hoping that we'll now keep on delivering. So thank you so much. Mahesh, you want to say any last two lines before we close?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Rakeshji, for such a nice session and all our stakeholders for asking such a wonderful questions. We always love to speak to people and what actually we do, we always like to say this. So just in two lines, we have a big aspirations, no doubt about that. But as Pradhan sir started with a conservative number, so I'm sure this year we are delivering. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mahesh ji. Thank you, Nandan ji. Thank you for your time. I'll just
Thanks.
stop the recording.
Okay.